Chapter 6, Symbols and Signs of Historic Consequence. Symbols and signs have enabled humans to communicate important meanings throughout history. The development of written and numeric symbols greatly accelerated the advancement of civilization. Writing allowed societies to share and preserve knowledge more consistently and in greater detail than ever before. Evidences of the first written languages date to about 5,500 years ago. The first written languages contained a multitude of symbols that represented whole ideas, words, or syllables. Only a few educated scribes could learn enough of these symbols to be literate. Later, a system of using symbols to represent sounds, the alphabet, was developed. The alphabet made it possible for ordinary people to learn to read and write, as the people only needed to learn the sounds of about 20 to 30 symbols. The same alphabet could be used by traders to write down commercially important words from their own language, as well as the languages of their trading partners. The ordinances of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints originated thousands of years ago. They make sense to both ancient and modern persons. For example, baptism is symbolic in the same way as it was performed thousands of years ago. The baptismal candidate is immersed completely underwater by one having authority. The immersion is symbolic of being cleansed of one's sins. Baptism is also symbolic of death and the resurrection. The action is symbolic, but the cleansing from sin is real, assuming the candidate is prepared and has repented for his or her previous sins. Witnesses attest to the fact that the candidate was baptized and was baptized properly. But today's baptisms are also modern in that a permanent digital record is made and kept by the church. When my granddaughter Eleanor was baptized, I was asked to give a talk. Since Eleanor really likes art, I asked her to make a banner to show during my talk. Below is a picture of that banner. Baptism is about love, the love of God for His children. In the first place, He gave His only begotten Son to pay for our sins. Then in the second place, He is willing to offer exaltation to those who are willing to take upon themselves the name of Christ and repent for their sins. Baptism is for those who make a promise and really mean it. Those who are ready to be born again and start a new, more mature life. Baptism is so important that there are witnesses who attest to our commitment. Baptism is about authority. Baptism is valid in part because it is performed by one who is ordained in a chain going directly back to the Son of God Himself and is authorized by a living priesthood leader who has the keys directing the use of that priesthood. Biblical culture may seem more colorful than the rational Western culture we are accustomed to. Consider the conversation between Abraham and Ephraim the Hittite, when Abraham wanted to buy a suitable grave site for his beloved wife Sarah. Abraham requested, "Give me the cave of Machpelah, for as much money as it is worth, for a burying place amongst you." And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham, in the audience of the children of Heth, "Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I to thee. Bury thy dead." And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, "But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there." And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, "My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead." And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron. And Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. Now let me translate this conversation for Western minds. Abraham was asking to buy a suitable cave property in which to bury Sarah. When Ephron offered to give the cave to Abraham, he was being polite, as was common by Eastern standards. A Westerner might think, "Great! Thanks for the gift." But Abraham was rich and could easily pay for the property. Ephron probably expected Abraham to insist on paying for the property and may have been surprised and insulted if Abraham had not. Abraham understood that Ephron was being polite and may not mean what he said literally. Abraham insisted on paying, and without further ado, Ephron named a friendly and fair price. Abraham paid the full price in front of multiple witnesses, and the friendly transaction was completed. Similarly, an Easterner might tell an honored guest who arrives, "My house is yours." The host doesn't mean what he says literally, "I am not giving my house to you." What he really means is, "We will attend to your every need while you are here." There is the possibility that even persons of the Eastern culture may mistake what is just being said to be polite and what must be taken literally. Abraham made use of a sign to make sure his most trusted servant understood what he was about to instruct him was not only to be taken literally, but was of utmost importance in the following incident. "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto the eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh," "thy hand under my hand," Joseph Smith translation, "and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God in heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son Isaac of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Abraham's servant did not fail him. The servant trusted in the Lord's guidance and was led to Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel. After the servant explained his inspired quest and gave Rebekah and her family gifts, Rebekah agreed to go with Abraham's servant to be Isaac's wife. And when Rebekah first saw Isaac in the field coming to meet her, Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Once again, we connect the words sign, promise, really mean it, and love. Another Old Testament love story is sealed with a sign, a promise, really mean it, and witnesses. The righteous woman, Naomi, was greatly afflicted when her husband, Elimelech, and both her sons, Chilion and Mahlon, died. Only her daughter-in-law, Ruth, remained with her to help her in her old age. A great love story unfolded when Boaz, a wealthy kinsman of Naomi's deceased husband, fell in love with Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth. As was the Jewish custom, the nearest kinsman of the deceased husband with no male heirs was to marry into the widow's family so as to raise up posterity to care for the widow and continue the family line. Boaz was eager to fulfill this obligation, but only one kinsman of Boaz was more closely related to Elimelech than Boaz. By tradition, this kinsman had the first right of refusal to marry Ruth. The kinsman was agreeable to letting Boaz fulfill the family obligation by marrying Ruth and buying Elimelech and his son's properties. To seal the promise, Boaz assembled 10 elders of the city as witnesses. In the presence of those witnesses, the kinsman gave Boaz his shoe as a sign that he really meant it when he relinquished his right to marry Ruth and agreed that Boaz could proceed with the marriage. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, "Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord, make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem." This lovely story is of utmost importance to all of us, as two of the greatest direct descendants of Boaz and Ruth are David, the greatest Old Testament king of Israel, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his earthly mother Mary. Often, the ordinances and festivals of religion, with their accompanying symbols and signs, are the most enduring ties we have with our religious roots. When interviewing a woman who is no longer active in the church, I asked her to tell me her story about when she first joined the church. She recounted the wonderful feeling she had as she recalled her beautiful experience of being baptized in the sea next to Italy with loving friends and missionaries in attendance. She later married a man who opposed her activity in the church, so while she was currently inactive, she never forgot the feeling she had when she was baptized. The prophet Brigham Young taught the following about the endowment in the following statement. Let me give you a definition in brief. Your endowment is to receive all those ordinances in the house of the Lord which are necessary for you, after you have departed this life, to enable you to walk back to the presence of the Father, passing the angels who stand as sentinels, being able to give them the key words, the signs, and tokens pertaining to the holy priesthood, and gain your eternal exaltation in spite of earth and hell. As with baptism and the sacrament, the endowment incorporates symbolism, but the promises are real. God will never break his promises to those who keep our side of the covenants we make in these ordinances. If we keep the covenants we make in these ordinances, the joyous day really will come when we are able to enter the celestial kingdom, receive our endowment promises, and live in peace and joy in the glorious presence of our Savior Jesus Christ.